now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, a B-movie podcast from classic cults from the cheese in between. The movies are beeped, the entertainment is grade A, and I am your host, Jason Giaconetti, and this is the 9th anniversary episode, and today I am covering Hellboy, the Crooked Man from 2024, and we'll get to it right after this.
Something in these hills. Something haunted. Evil. It smells like death.
How do you know that?
Dark things called dark things.
I heard tales about him all my life. Most just called him the Crooked Man.
We've got company.
All your friends, they all gonna die.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so before I get into the synopsis here, I just want to address one thing. This is the 9th anniversary episode. Obviously, the plan is always to have my dad here with me, kind of thing. And I have an episode with my dad recorded that we recorded a little while ago, just as because we were kind of in between what we were going to do, and we just decided to bang out a couple movies to have one in the can. So I do have one in the can, and I thought about releasing it here at the 9th anniversary episode, but we're not kind of sure if my dad will be able to come back and join us again here anymore. So I just was kind of saving it for now. So for those who have reached out, thank you very much. Not really talking about what's going on right now, but I would just want to say that we do, the people who have reached out and who people who do kind of know what's going on, thank you very much for your support in this time, and we are working through the things we're working through. So, not to get too deep early, because we're going to talk about a movie that a lot of people didn't like, but I think I think it's worth covering here, and if it's a movie that if you listen to the 2024 review episode back in January, you'd know I actually enjoyed. So let's talk about Hellboy, the Crooked Man. So Hellboy, the Crooked Man was released in 2024. Your director here is Brian Taylor. Now, that name probably means very little to most of you. He is the director and writer of Crank. He also was the camera operator. And then he was the director, writer, and camera operator for Crank High Voltage and Gamer. All those movies. There's a very funny story about Crank. Let's tell it real quick here. So we're at school, myself, Franco, and Vinny. Franco and Vinny are art teachers. And the one year they messed up and gave us all lunch at the same time, which was the worst idea they ever did. We would sit in Vinny's room, and during the lunch period, when we would eat lunch, and, you know, that's our time to have lunch, we would watch movies while we watch lunch. Well, we're watching Crank, and there's a scene where she's got to be a stripper. Stripper gets shot right through the breast, but they're fake, right? And the whole point is they're leak and saline, whatever. I can usually talk Franco into Vinny to watch most anything. Vinny goes, "That's it, I can't watch any more of this," and we just turned it off. It was one of the funniest things ever because we were just not expecting that, and the movie's pretty insane, over the top. He's jump starting his heart with a car. Oh, sorry, it's a 20-year-old movie. If you haven't seen it, you ain't miss anything. Jason Statham's jump starting his heart with a car battery, and it's insane. Anyway, so your director here was also worked. He worked with another director. He also worked on Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance, where he was the director and the camera operator. By himself, he was the director, writer, and executive producer. He directed 9 episodes and wrote 5 episodes of the show Happy. He also, his last feature film would have been 2017's Mom and Dad, where he was the writer, director, and producer, until he got to Hellboy the Crooked Man, where he is both your director and your writer. The screenplay credits go also, obviously, Ryan Taylor is one of your writers. The creator, of course, of Hellboy is Mike Mignola, who is a legend in the comic book industry. And Christopher Golden. Now, that's a name that some of you might recognize. Christopher Golden is known as a novelist and a comic book writer. He writes a lot of horror and stuff like that. He is the guy who, I think he wrote all of them. It might not be all of them. It's definitely a bunch of the Hellboy adaptations that were done into like little mini novelizations kind of thing, which I've read a couple of those. They're actually really good. But that's Christopher Golden, the name people would know. Your other producers here are Michael Richardson, Jeff Goldstein, Yari Lerner, Jonathan Younger, Les Weldon, Robert Van Noden, and Sam Shuttle. Your music was by Sven Falkener. Millennium Media, Dark Horse Entertainment, New Boya Film Studio, Campbell Grobman Films, all of them are the production companies from, distributed by Ketchup Entertainment. Release dates. So we had a release date in Belgium of June 20th of 2024, and in the US of October 8th with a 99-minute running time. And here is the problem that a lot of people had. Well, there's a lot of problems everybody people had, but budget $20 million, and the box office is right around $2 million. So that is where a lot of people point to this being one of their least favorite films of the year, except that most people I ask, hey, this movie was so horrible. Like, oh, you saw it? No. They'll say no. That's part of the problem. A lot of people have kind of bought that this is the worst movie of the year for 2024 and did not actually watch it. Which is a shame. Anyway, so it was released direct to video in the United States back in October, and that's going to hurt your thing. I mean, I don't think this would have had any run in the theater because it's not Ron Perlman. Anyway, all right, and your Hellboy here is played by Jack Kesey. Jack Kesey, most people, if you know him from anything, it's probably going to be that you knew him from The Strain, the FX TV horror miniseries, drama, whatever you want to call it, that ran for like, what, 3 seasons. And that's where I knew his name from, because he's not an actor I would have seen anywhere else. But he was Black Tom Cassidy in Deadpool 2. He was in the remake of Death Wish. He was in 12 Strong. He was in the Baywatch. He was in a whole bunch of movies in very small roles. Kind of thing, not usually as a big standout, but The Strain, he played Gabriel Bolivar, who is the master, and that was for all 3 seasons he was there, kind of thing. He was also on an episode of Ray Donovan. He was in a couple episodes of, he's in the TV show Claws. He was in the episode of The Alienist. He was in, you know, things like that. So not a major actor. The other person is Jefferson White. Jefferson White is somebody who's been in a bunch of TV and movies. His big role might be when he was on Chicago PD, where he played Sean O'Neill for a recurring role in season 10. He was a guest judge as himself on Ink Master, which I know. And he actually was in the 2024 release Civil War, which I know a lot of people were very big on. That's one of the movies that I wish I had got to see, and I had not had a chance to see it when I reviewed the 2024s. The other one is Adeline Rudolph. She's in... Pretty much, this is like pretty much the first major movie she's been in. She is coming up as Katana in the Mortal Kombat 2, and then she's in a new movie called Do Not Enter, which is coming out soon. She was in the Resident Evil television series Resident Evil. She had 8 episodes there. She was on Riverdale, and she was in her main thing she's known from is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, where she played Agatha in 36 episodes. So as we get through, we'll go here. All right. So those are your main people here in your plot. The other people might know is Joseph Marcel, who is the pastor. Many of you know him as Jeffrey the Butler from the original Will Smith vehicle, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And then you wind up having Martin Bezendale wound up playing the crooked man here in this movie. All right, so let's get rock and rolling here. Let's pull the plot. All right, here we go. So I'm going to say this. For those who have not seen this movie, the effects in this movie, especially in the first 10 minutes, are poor. The spider effects in the beginning of this movie are very, very poor. Once you get past that, because I'm telling you honestly, it was hard to get Kelly. Kelly watched this with me. It's hard to get Kelly past. She goes, that looks horrible. Like really bad. Like, we've seen good spider effects for years. You can go back to Arachnophobia and see spider effects that blow this thing out of the park. You just have to get past that. And you have to get past the fact that this guy does not look like Ron Perlman. Like, he doesn't even look like David Harbour as Hellboy. And again, I understand, Ron Perlman is Hellboy. But you, like, he will always be Hellboy to me too. But you gotta get past that. If you don't, you will blind yourself to the story that's going to unfold. And this is actually really good. So you have to just trust me on that. And again, if you don't want to trust me, that's fine. You do you. But at the end of the day, that's why I'm reviewing this movie. Because I think people need to see it. All right, in the 1950s, the BPRD agent Hellboy and Bobby Joe Song are tasked with transporting via train a toxic supernatural spider to their headquarters. Now, that sounds really interesting, but the spider's effects aren't great. However, when they're crossing the Appalachian Mountains, the spider suddenly enlarges to a monstrous proportion, forcing the train car to overturn and the spider to escape. There's a lot of action here, and you could see that if you had given this to Guillermo del Toro and you had pumped in, you know, a bunch more money and had Ron Perlman and things like this thing would have been kind of a big actioner to open the movie. But again, it's not. This is a much smaller scale in this movie. Hellboy surmised that the spider grew due to something evil haunting the area, admitting that he heard it calling to him. And you heard that in the trailer. How do you know there's some evil? Dark things call the dark things. Left stranded, Hellboy and Bobby Joe wander until they meet Tom Farrell, a local who's recently returned to atone for his passing. Now, I forgot who plays Tom Farrell. Sorry, guys. Oh, that's Jefferson White. Excuse me. Jefferson White. Now, those of you who are fans of Yellowstone will know him from Yellowstone. I am not a super big fan of Yellowstone, although I've watched it now almost twice all the way through, thanks to Kelly, because she loves Yellowstone. Where are we here? So they meet Tom Farrell, a local who's recently returned to atone for his past sins. The agents accompany Tom to speak with Cora Fisher, a witch, and Tom's ex-girlfriend, only to find the house and Cora's body empty. Now, when I say her body empty, I mean it looks like someone took off the Cora suit. Very much in the idea of Men in Black, when the wife describes, it was like it was wearing an Edgar suit. Like his skin doesn't fit. Like, it's literally her empty husk of a body there. Like, just all the skin off. As they wait for the demonic familiar to return with Cora's full body, Tom regales to the agent that he once met Ellie Cobb, a witch that attracted him towards witchcraft and convinced him to make a deal with an entity known as the Crooked Man. At Effie's suggestion, Tom used a cat carcass to summon the Crooked Man. Whatever bone he held once the entity arrived would be his lucky bone. However, the sight of the Crooked Man terrified Tom enough to have a change of heart and discard the lucky bone, but it would always return and keep him safe from harm. Tom intends to face the Crooked Man once and for all. When the familiar returns to Cora's body, she reveals to Tom that the local witch wants her soul. Now, that scene is, I mean, again, we're talking about limited budget, limited special effects. It's actually very effective going back into the body. The body starts re-getting all the parts and pieces back into it, and the skin starts re-inflating. To me, it's effective. A lot of this movie actually gives me a lot of Evil Dead vibes. If this was Sam Raimi directing and this had, you know, a little bigger budget and whatever, we would be looking at probably an Evil Dead connection here. I know it's Hellboy, but it still has a very Evil Dead feel. Very much the way that the Doctor Strange movie that Sam Raimi did had a very much, it was an Evil Dead movie, just happened to have Doctor Strange going in it. Anyway, to Tom's shock, Effie arrives on a white horse to collect Cora's soul. After Hellboy threatens Effie, Tom removes the horse's bridle, and it suddenly transforms into Tom's father as Effie escapes. Tom and his father reconcile briefly before he dies. The following morning, Tom, Cora, and the agents walk to the nearby church owned by Reverend Watts to bury Tom's father, but Cora is attacked and killed by a demonic snake. Hellboy kills it, but it bites him, shows him visions of his mother, Sarah, a witch who made a deal with a demon. Now, this is where this thing gets interesting, because we don't know. Well, I shouldn't say it. We have not seen a ton of the Hellboy backstory. We know that clearly he was, you know, kind of born, and there was like the whole thing with the Nazis and the Allied forces and all the stuff we got in the original Hellboy movies. But this is taking us kind of more into where it's going. And this is one of the things. This story is told small. I don't mean small as in like it's insignificant. This movie's told in small places, tight quarters. It's very much shot like a horror movie. It's not shot like a rolling, expansive movie. It's shot on a tight budget, and so you have to kind of go with smaller sets. The survivors reach the church, where they are confronted by the Crooked Man and his servants, and he starts raising people from the dead. Very Evil Dead here. Tom is tempted to return his lucky bone, but Hellboy stops him. As Hellboy battles the demonic horde, the Crooked Man attempts to entice the blind Reverend with youth and sight in exchange for giving up Tom. Reverend Watts refuses to give in to the temptation and blesses a shovel with Tom's lucky bone that allows Hellboy to weaken the Crooked Man and neutralize the forces. Yes, he is using a shovel as a weapon. This just has so many different pieces and parts from horror in there. Cutting people up with splitting heads and cutting necks and cutting, you know, heads off and stuff with a shovel. Hellboy and Tom chase the Crooked Man to an abandoned mansion, but are assaulted with traumatic visions. Bobby Joe, believing the Crooked Man draws power from the town's mines, reaches a tunnel system via an access under the church. She disrupts the Crooked Man's power source with a spell, which frees Hellboy and Tom from the visions, and they destroy the Crooked Man. So the visions inside the house are getting horrific. And again, like I said, this is so much a horror movie and not a superhero movie, which I think is what I think. Why I think? Well, I know why people didn't like it. People didn't like it because there is no Ron Perlman. That is the brass tacks of it. If there's no Ron Perlman, people are like, nope. And even the David Harbour movie, which was not spectacular by any stretch of imagination, the David Harbour Hellboy, people were like, nope, there's no Ron Perlman. I don't want to hear about it. And I understand that I do, because Ron Perlman he's Hellboy the same way Wesley Snipes is Blade, in the same way. Like, I get that. I do. I 100% get that, especially since those were the movies before we had the MCU that was just inundating us with movies like and TV shows and everything at such an amazingly large clip, because we hung on to those things so dearly because that was how we saw them. It's the same way that Wolverine, and it's you can't have someone else be Wolverine. You can't really have anyone else be Deadpool. Like, certain characters just are the people who play them. I get that. I do. But it's hard when we're trying to see, you know, like this story for what it is, instead of just like kind of blowing it off as, you know, not good enough. In the aftermath, Effie ages rapidly, and Tom places the bridle that had turned her father into a horse on her. Hellboy and Bobby Joe are rescued. Tom feels a weight has been lifted from his soul, and while the white horse wanders with a warning written on its hide, beware, I am a witch. Yeah, so this, like I said, Kelly watched this movie with me. She had low expectations, but she's like, oh, it looks interesting, I'll watch it. And I'm always grateful when I'm grateful when Haley's willing to watch a movie too. But I'm always grateful when Kelly will, you know, put the phone down enough to actually watch the movie with me. Especially if it's something that doesn't necessarily interest her a ton. For those of you who listened to the Vault episode about The Substance, which if you haven't, go listen to it. Really one of my favorite movies of 2024. When I got Kelly to watch that, I was able to give kind of like, just I told her, pay attention. You got to pay attention. Right? And she's going along. And except for the fact that The Substance gets crazy at the end and there's a lot of blood, she really enjoyed the story. This is the same thing here. Kelly is not a horror fan by any stretch of imagination. In fact, she detests horror movies most of the time. But this one held her interest. And that's the thing. It's not boring. That's what I kept hearing. Oh, nothing happens. I'm like, there's a lot happening. There's a lot of killing. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of demons and there's a lot of witches. And it's interesting. The problem is, it's just not big and bright and out there. It's dark and gloomy. But shouldn't this story be dark and gloomy? This is about witches. This is about familiars. This is about, you know, raising the dead and bringing up zombies. And like, this shouldn't be all happy and sunshine and let's be in the light. This is very much the way it's supposed to be told. And I understand that some don't like that. But it's a lot like when... The New Mutants, when that came out. And again, I think the New Mutants, if they had gone the R-rated route and the much more horror aspect, would have been better. But people were like, this movie's so small. It's like, yeah, because it's told inside an asylum. Like, what do you think it's supposed to be? Like, not everything is going to be big, loud, bold, in your face, like, you know, action that's wall to wall. Sometimes you got to tell small stories. Sometimes the horror in it is good. But I think that's also why. And there's you know, there's movies that people love because they're popcorn movies and they're fun. And I love popcorn movies too. Deadpool and Wolverine was a lot of fun. A lot of swearing, but a lot of fun, right? Which was cool. But not every movie needs to be like that. You know, the smaller movies, the movies that Dad and I and Luke and, you know, and Chris and my buddy Damien and my buddy John, my other buddy John, all of us try to find these smaller movies, you know, that maybe are overlooked. You know, I talked about it again in the 2024 look back at the end of February, end of January. When you look at that listen to that episode, you hear me talk about Heretic. You hear me talk about The Substance. You hear me talk about these smaller movies that are maybe overlooked. A movie like The Oddity, which a lot of people like, that I thought was kind of, you know, predictable and nothing spectacular to me. Again, small movies. They don't need to be these giant rolling epics. And to that vein, same thing with, if you go back and listen to when I talked about Immaculate or talk about The First Omen. The First Omen's a studio picture. Much more money spent on than Immaculate. Smaller movies, but they have good story and punch you. That's what this has. The Hellboy, The Crooked Man, has good story. It has more punch to it. It is certainly not. If you love the first two, if you love Hellboy and Hellboy the Golden Army, this will not unseat them as probably your favorite Hellboy movies. It didn't unseat it for me. I still love Hellboy. I still love the Golden Army. The Golden Army has some of the best visual effects. Just amazing stuff. But it's not going to unseat them. And that's okay. Not every single thing needs to reinvent the wheel. But this story, which I've also read the comic for, you know, is actually probably the most faithful. And to me, I'd much rather have a more faithful, if you're going to be, let's be honest, we all know the rules and Luke will back me up on this, right? If you're comparing yourself to something else, you have two options. You can't be the same, because if you're the same, you're either less than or you're greater than. You have to be greater or less, right? If you want to be the same or be different. So instead of trying to make like the David Harbour Hellboy, where they wanted to be on the same plane with him and we spent all this money and we did this stuff, that they didn't change it enough to make it be truly different. And whether you agree with me or not, I'd love to hear from you, trust me, but that's fine.
This at least took the chance of being different. And being different is so important, because if you're not boring, and that's a big problem to me when movies are boring, right? My buddy John Van Over will back me on that one, right? If God forbid the movie's boring, right? If you're not boring and you do something that's a little different, it might not appeal to everybody, and that's okay. But when it's all said and done, at least you might be able to put something out there that could help grow what we're doing. And to me, I'd much rather have a smaller story told. This is very isolated, very small. It's much more horror related. It's much more faithful to the actual source material, the actual comic. That to me is okay. It doesn't have to replace Hellboy. It doesn't have to replace Golden Army. It doesn't have to replace those things. It just can live with them. Now, would it be amazing to see this with, Ron Perlman and, like, you know, maybe more money spent in effects and stuff? But I think once we do that, now we need to broaden the scope more. Now the church needs to be bigger. Now everything needs to be more. And once we get there, maybe we lose some of those things that make this unique and some of those things that make this stand out as being different. Maybe some of that is lost. And I know some people complain about some of the Evil Dead stuff that's come out since, like, the original and, like, you know, 2 and whatever. Like, I mean, Army of Darkness is it's a different animal altogether. But sometimes people are like, well, you know, the Evil Dead Rise, let's say, didn't have a lot of story. Where I was like, it actually has exactly the story it's supposed to have. It's the Evil Dead movie. It's the third or fourth, if depending on how you count them, sequel here, right? It's kind of like the Evil Dead, the fourth movie, you know, kind of thing in the series, which is the one with the female Ash, right? People are like, well, that was just a gore fest. I'm like, actually, it's putting a twist in the story. It's putting modern things into it. It's changing it. It's not the same story all the time. And if you need to live in your absolutes, live there. That's fine. I'm not looking to argue and fight with you, okay? Because I just don't have the energy for that garbage. What I'm saying is, at some point, you can appreciate something that is a little bit different. And that's what I think this movie brings to the table. It brings something that's a little bit different than what you know as quote-unquote, air quotes to the mic, because I'm doing it with my fingers, air quotes, know about Hellboy. Because if all you know about Hellboy is what you've watched in the first two movies, then you don't really know a lot about Hellboy. If you've read the comics and you've, you know, gone through whatever, and you've gone deeper, then you probably know more. And I'm not saying that the two movies aren't exactly what they need to be, because they are really good. They're entertaining. The effects are good. They're funny when they need to be. They're, you know, poignant when they need to be. But at the same token, right, if that's all you know about Hellboy, okay. It's the same thing with, like, the Crow, the original Crow with Brandon Lee, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Love that movie, right? And then the Crow remake they did, which I watched. We watched that. Kelly and I watched that together, and she was like, "Wow, that was disappointing." I said, "Yes, that was not as good as it should have been." But, and there are some people who really enjoyed it, and that's fine. You're welcome to. It wasn't my cup of tea. I don't think they did what they needed to do, especially since I already had two or three Crow sequels, Salvation, Wicked Game. Is it Wicked Game or Prayer Game? I don't remember. I don't remember the other sequels right off the top of my head. But I had Crow sequels that kind of did the same thing again to a lesser degree. And this one tried to be different. That one didn't work for me. It didn't work for me, right? You know, it's not working for me, dog, you know, kind of thing. But to me, The Crooked Man worked as a sequel, as its own standalone movie. This is standalone. This doesn't need a sequel. This doesn't need another adventure. This reads like a single one-shot comic, okay? And I said this at one point. I said, you know, if it didn't have Hellboy in it, if it had some other character who wasn't Hellboy, let's say, right, but was somehow, you know, connected to the under, you know, like to being able to talk to dark things and this, that, and the other thing, whatever, then maybe it would have hit better. I don't know. I think what hurts it a lot, obviously, is the budget just wasn't there. If the spider stuff in the very beginning was, whoa, look at these effects. This is top notch. Like, if it was as good as Infested or was it Sting? Was that the other movie? I think I remember that was the two spider movies I watched last year. I think people would appreciate it more. But the spider is not so great. And it makes it look cheap and chintzy. And it kind of looks like we shot this thing, like, you know, on Windows 98 kind of thing, right? So people kind of automatically write it off at that point. I mean, a lot of people wrote it off just from the trailer. Just once you see it says Hellboy, you're like, well, who is this guy? Who's this small little Hellboy? Okay. Again, I'm never going to win some of you over. I'm never going to win everybody over, that's for sure. I'm never going to win some of you over with the idea that it's good. And some of you are like, no, I'm not wasting my time, Jay. Then don't. It's cool. I'm okay with it. But just know that so far, when Dad and I go and find those movies, the upgrades of the world, like the Overlord, those movies that some people overlooked, and Dad and I are like, hey, we found this movie's really good. A lot of people started rediscovering them. Could this movie be something that's rediscovered in a couple years? Maybe once it's, you know, kind of free everywhere, and people are like, hey, did you see that Hellboy movie? Yeah, it's kind of cheap, but man, the story's pretty good. Or hey, it was kind of like Evil Dead. Just saying. But if that's the case, remember, you heard it here first. Anyway, so folks, did anyone else see it? Just me and my buddy John? Because I know we saw it. And then obviously Kelly, but Kelly's not coming on here. Haley be on a podcast before Kelly would be again, and I don't know if I can get Haley back on again to talk stuff. Anyway, so where are we going from here? I have not a clue. I wish I could tell you. I know there will be an episode at the end of March. That might be, again, there'll be another standalone episode. What it's going to be, I couldn't tell you right now. My issue is that I've watched a bunch of movies, that would fit really well for the vault. So I can't guarantee you that some of those might not show up there. I've watched a bunch of movies that are not really Bots, Bugs, and Babes kind of thing. Like Gladiator 2 would be really cool to talk about. But that'd be really cool to talk about with my dad. And Gladiator doesn't kind of fit here. I mean, although Gladiator is like literally one of my favorite movies of all time. And my dad's kind of thing. And other people. And I'm just not just exclusive to us. We didn't discover it. But, you know, like, does that really fit? Do I talk about that? I don't know. I got to kind of weigh that stuff out. There's a bunch of movies I really am interested in kind of watching. And, oh, I wanted to mention this because a bunch of you I know are sure to do this. I know Chuck, I were talking about this actually before. The Keep finally came out, restored. So that is a movie that is going to be coming up. I don't know when I'm going to talk about The Keep. I got to watch the new 4K. But that's a movie that Dad and I have talked about doing. And he's like, yeah, but our copy, we had, it's got to be like fifth generation VHS burned onto a disc. It looks horrible. It's cut up. It's not good. Like, it just was so poor. And I'm like, do we really want to review this? Like, because this wasn't readily available. You can't see it. Now that the new cleaned up version's out, and I've got a feeling that somewhere down the road, I can't promise you when, folks, but somewhere down the road, when I get actually time to sit down and watch a movie for myself, that's the movie I want to watch, and that's what I want to talk about at some point. So I'm not saying The Keep will be next, because it won't, but I'm saying it's coming. And when it does, I'm telling you right now, I am really looking forward to finally seeing it for the first time where you can actually see it. Many of you know I always talk about, the first time I ever watched The Hills Have Eyes when it was on DVD. And I said, oh, there's a person in that scene. And then I finally saw it like when it's all cleaned up on like Blu-ray. And I'm like, oh, you can actually see what the people are in the scene are doing. Because that's how grainy and dark things were. The Keep is one of those movies that has been kind of quote unquote lost, but not fully lost. I mean, it's Michael Mann. You'd think he would be bigger than that. But another story, another day. We'll get there when we get there. Anywho, so if you saw Hellboy the Crooked Man and you'd like to give me some feedback, good, bad, or otherwise, I'd love to hear from you. Please shoot me an email. I'll read them on the show. I don't currently have anything in the mailbag. Otherwise, I would totally be reading some mail to you. But like I said, that's about it for now. Again, I don't know what's coming next. I do know that I got a bunch of 4Ks, new releases, and new Blu-rays and stuff that are movies that I haven't seen in a long time and I'd maybe like to revisit. And there's a lot of new stuff coming too. I can honestly say I'm looking forward to, there's not much this year I'm really looking forward to movie-wise. Kind of looking forward to, getting some time to actually like, you know, spend some time and watch some movies and, that I want to watch. There's nothing shattering in the movie theaters. Okay? I mean, The Wolfman is out and I've heard some bad things and some good things. But I haven't had a chance to see it yet. And that's a movie I want to see. And as of this recording, I haven't seen Nosferatu. I know. How could you not see Nosferatu? Because I don't like people and I don't like movie theaters and I don't like people in movie theaters. Yeah. So as of the recording, I have not seen Nosferatu yet. It's on the list. It's part of the plan. Same thing with The Wolfman. It's on the list and part of the plan. I just find it really hard to be near people kind of thing. So anyway, that about does it for me, folks, this time.
Thank you for the downloads and listens. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the support for Dad. Thank you for everything you guys do. It is truly appreciated. As you know, this is a labor of love because we make exactly jack all or nothing doing this. And I do this on in my free time to help bring you guys a little bit of normalcy, a little bit of, you know, maybe a chuckle here and there. Maybe you get upset with me. You're like, Jay, you know nothing. And you're like, great, call me out. It's okay. Trust me. It would not be the worst thing I've been called this week alone. Trust me. Anyway. So, thank you very much, folks, for this. As we say around here, keep those cards and letters coming, and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag BotsBugsBabesPodcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?